This is Valerie Van Boeven with the Senior Care Industry Netcast, where leaders with 3 or more years of experience in the senior care industry share their advice. It's 6 questions in 9 minutes, so let's get to it. In a few sentences, tell us who you are and what you do.
Well, hi, everyone. My name is Evan Lovner. I'm an ex-hospital administrator, and I started Aviva In-Home Care in San Francisco in 2014. We provide private duty in-home non-medical care services to seniors looking either to post-hospitalization support or for those seniors looking to get an alternative to going into a residential care facility. So sometimes we're working with our clients on a 24/7 basis. And we're really about preventing injury within and around the home. We provide support for the ADLs or activities of daily living. So that can be everything from companion care related activity, errands, light housekeeping, meal preparation, all the way up to personal care, bathing, dressing, grooming support, eating support, and so on. We are really a white glove, high touch agency, Valerie. So we're all about bending over backwards for our clients and doing whatever we can to keep them safe and happy.
That's what people are looking for. Absolutely. Families are so relieved when they have that excellent level of support for their aging loved one at mm-hmm. home or wherever they call home. Absolutely. Sure. What is the best thing about serving aging adults?
For me, I would say it's knowing that we're improving the well-being of those seniors challenged with physical and mental hurdles. At the end of the day, we're about fulfilling their wish. We know from, as you know well, surveys that 80%, over 80% of seniors want to remain in place if they can and age that way, age in place. So I always encourage prospective clients to think about what we do more as an enablement to keep them independent when often it's seen as, gosh, this is a big change to my lifestyle and I'm having strangers in the home and I'm relinquishing my independence when in fact it's exactly the opposite. We're keeping them able to do the things that they want to do. And at the end of the day, the most gratifying thing for me is when I get thanks from the families for the impact that I'm having to the quality of life for their loved ones.
I would totally agree with you. I mean, really, again, that sigh of relief and that thankfulness and the happiness that you see on an adult child's face is, and hearing their voice is just, there's no replacement for that.
I mean, yeah. And just to add on to my comments earlier, I mean, that's what I was missing from the hospital environment because I didn't have as many touch points to the families as I do now. So it's great to be able to see them through the whole care delivery cycle and make sure that they're getting what they want effectively and that I'm the biggest enabler of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's such a rewarding position to be in. It really absolutely is. And to have that positive effect on so many lives is a great thing for your heart. So, all right. So I'm going to switch gears just a little bit and talk about online marketing. So I know from other senior service providers that online marketing can be challenging, it's overwhelming, it's definitely ever-changing. What have your been your experience and thoughts on the online environment for home care?
Yeah, I agree it can be challenging, and I'm a career marketer. You know, I've been doing it for close to probably 25 years now, but I am by no means a social media marketing expert, and I think we've all had to pivot in these challenging times as business owners and the ones who are thinking about it correctly anyway, and make sure that we have a very robust, consistent online presence. So I think it's vital to, if you can't do it yourself, like I don't feel I'm enabled to do it 100% effectively myself, it's critical to have a partner who can help you do that. And I would encourage anyone thinking about what do I do in terms of online marketing to really take at least baby steps, and the cornerstones of those baby steps, if you will, I think are having a good website that's informative, well-designed, I think in terms of your social media presence, whatever sites you're on, LinkedIn, Facebook, what have you, it's having a consistent and relevant presence in front of your clients and your referral sources, whether that's through drip media campaigns or other vehicles. And also to perhaps most importantly, have a blog that allows you to establish yourself as a thought leader. And again, presents relevant information to your families and to anyone that you're working with.
I would agree. Thank you for that. I think that if somebody is considering choosing a home care agency or assisted living facility or anything senior care related, it's such a difficult emotional decision and it's an overwhelming place to be in at first, or maybe always. But people are going to look around online and see what you have to offer. And when was the last time you blog posted, or when was the last time you posted on your Facebook page? And if it was 2016, since you last put something out there, they might wonder, where you been for 4 years or whatever. And we see that a lot. So I think having an up-to-date, if you whether you're doing it yourself or you hire somebody, just having everything up-to-date at least once a month, if nothing else, and making sure that when somebody looks at it, they don't wonder why you disappeared in 2018 or whatever. So I would agree with you. Baby steps is great, and learning just a little bit at a time about it is okay too. Mm-hmm. But up to date is perfect. So what other successful leaders in the senior care industry like yourself maybe have been a mentor or an inspiration, whether it's personally or professionally? What organizations or people out there have meant a lot to you?
Yeah, I would say we work with very often with two vital functions, if you will, within the long-term care spectrum. And those are conservators and geriatric care managers. Starting off with the latter, the geriatric care managers, as you know, Valerie, are often the quarterbacks of the care situation. And I think they're probably not used as much as they should be used within this spectrum. I very frequently encourage my clients to take advantage of them if their situation gets unwieldy or they feel like they need someone to advocate on their behalf or get involved in financial planning or make decisions between hospice, home care, and home health that are often very difficult to make for families on their own, because we all know we have difficulty finding sources of information and people who can fight for us in an efficient manner for our beliefs and for our wishes. So the few that I work with in the Bay Area who are really phenomenal, Elka Tekin, in the peninsula, and then up towards the city, Mary Hume, as well as Kathy Fienzi. Those are three individuals who I would point to. And the other vital function that, type of individual who we work with, among others, in our space, are conservators. And of course, advocating and managing the estates for those, or interests for those who are incapacitated, not able to do so any longer. We work with a couple of phenomenal conservators in this area, Laura Brockwell, David Keeler, Barbara Simon, and Anne Lassonde, to name a few. So those folks are great community partners, really help us take the best care of our families that we can, and vice versa. So we're cross-referring and really working hand in hand as the years go by with our clients.
It's great that you've had some long-term partners like that, mm-hmm. that are, you know, still, you know, that you can market with and refer to and trust. That's really important in this business,
yep.
is having those people mm-hmm. you can trust that you know are going to do a great job for your clients. Mm-hmm. So thank you for shouting out to those people, because I know that you have to share this with them now so that they know you talked about them. Right. Because it's always great to know, and you're in the San Francisco area, and so great to know who it is that we can go to for all these different things. And when you have someone who's been doing this long term like you have, and you have some long term trusted partners, that helps families a lot. Mm-hmm. So thank you. All right. What piece of advice would you give other senior service providers?
Yeah, my advice is, I think, even more generalized than that, because we're in tricky times. We're all trying to navigate the challenges presented by COVID. I think every business is impacted by that. Of course, we are, because we're essential frontline workers. So I would say, you have to really stay connected and in front of your clients right now. That's very, very important through the social media activities we talked about before, but also by looking for additional ways that you can establish value with your clients, maybe coming up with new service lines. The sort of general business advice that I would give to people in this time is, do some planning, maybe when the demand is a bit slower now. Try to stimulate some of those projects that may have been on the back burner for some period of time. Maybe get those off the ground. Again, it could be a new service line. It could be going after a couple of new relationships that you thought might prove valuable. Or again, even just redeveloping a business plan to understand where I need to be in 6 months or 1 year. We're as you know, Valerie, we're often trying to get out of the trees and above everything to strategize and plan. And now is a perfect time to do that.
You're right. A lot of people are taking this time to reevaluate what they're doing and how they're doing it and what their delivery methods are. And I think we see a lot of people adding service lines that didn't exist before, being innovative, thinking differently than they had to think before with, for their caregivers who are those brave souls heading out there every day, and also for their business to thrive. And I think there's lots of opportunity for that in most business sectors. You just have to be able to adapt. You're right. This is a great time. It has been for the last few months to reevaluate lots of things, or just get that business plan back up to date. It always needs to be looked at every couple of years, I think. Sure. See where we are and what we're really doing. All right. When you have a win in life or in business, how do you like to celebrate?
Well, we can't do hugs anymore, right? So, what we're traditionally doing, and we're trying to do it very often as a business, is showing appreciation for who are the really key parts of our business, who are our frontline workers. They are the heroes, the care professionals who we employ. So we've always had a lot of potluck dinners, a lot of group celebrations whenever we have a really good quarter, or even if we don't, because we're all about family and showing that we're connected and truly vested in not only the professional lives of our employees, but also getting to know them on a personal level as well. I do some sometimes innovative things, like for my direct staff, I give them a bonus of professional massages. They can go out and get them and stay relaxed and de-stress. And then the occasional, paid day off for some mental health benefits and things like that. So I wouldn't say it's necessarily doing something when we win, but just showing them a level of appreciation on an ongoing basis. Because again, I feel that we're only as good as we are if we operate in one capacity as one family. And that means knowing everybody that's on the staff, what their interests are, what their strengths are, and what motivates them. So it's important to recognize people on multiple levels.
Yeah, I think that's perfect. One of the best ways to celebrate is to appreciate the goodness that you have right in front of you with your staff. Mm-hmm. And that's you can't replace some of your staff that are just amazing people. And so making sure they're happy is always a great way to celebrate.
Yeah, we've had some of our people upwards of 6 or 7 years, Valerie, since our inception in 2014. So we've been blessed that way.
Yeah, and that speaks a lot to your commitment to them, because it's hard to keep good staff in this healthcare environment. It really, there's a lot of turnover, as you know. So when you do keep people for a long time, that speaks to, from the top down, the values and the considerations that you have for your staff. So. Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that with us. And thanks for being on the show. You did a great job, and we appreciate your wisdom, because that's what this is all about, sharing good news and good wisdom and getting the word out about how all kinds of different healthcare professionals are, you know, navigating this environment, but also just business in general. So thank you.
I appreciated it, Valerie. Thank you very much.